And amid all the talk of Zika's link to the birth defect microcephaly, it has also been linked to a rare and mysterious neurological condition in adults. NPR's Nurit Eisenman takes us inside a clinic in Colombia, where doctors are struggling to make sense of a surge in cases.
Ana Tilcia Cordero stands by her brother's hospital bed, staring at the breathing tube leading into his mouth. She touches his leg gently. "Can you feel it?" she asks.
Las piernas la siente. No siente las piernas. No.
Her brother, a 58-year-old day laborer named Jose Cordero, fixes his eyes on her and strains to shake his head. That's all he can manage. He's basically immobilized. We're at a clinic in the city of Cúcuta. The head of the ICU, Dr. Arturo Arias, pokes his head into the room.
Hola, Jose. Mírame para acá.
Look over here, the doctor says. He smiles, encouraging. Don't worry, you'll get better soon.
Okay, tranquilo que vas a mejorar pronto, bueno?
But as Dr. Arias leaves the room, his expression is dark. Cordero's situation is really serious, he says. He's suffering from Guillain-Barré syndrome. It's a condition where your immune system basically starts to attack your nerves. For most people, it starts with tingling or numbness in the arms and legs, like when your limbs fall asleep. From there, things can deteriorate fast.
Les cuesta trabajo moverse, luego no pueden levantarse de la cama.
It gets harder and harder to move. Eventually, you can't get out of bed. In the worst cases, the paralysis is so severe, you can't even breathe without a machine. Ultimately, you recover from that. But it can take months to walk again. Some people never do. While Guillain-Barré is rare, at this ICU, Arias does see about a case a year. So when a patient came in with the syndrome the first week of January, Arias wasn't too bothered. The following week, two more patients arrived.
Dos pacientes? Tan raro. Dos pacientes en un mes?
Two more patients, Arias thought. That's strange. When the fourth case showed up, he decided to call his friends at the other ICUs around town.
Se llamé a todos mis amigos. Hola, ¿cuánto Guillain-Barré?
Hey, how many Guillain-Barré cases have you had lately? He asked them. The answers stunned him.
Hay cuatro, hay cinco, hay ocho.
I've got four, said one colleague. Another had five, another eight. And there was something else. Practically every one of these patients said that shortly before they developed Guillain-Barré, they had come down with the telltale signs of a Zika infection. Rashes, pink eye, fever. Researcher Dr. Juan Manuel Anaya has just arrived at the ICU to puzzle out the connection. He's here from Colombia's capital, Bogota, where he directs a center for autoimmune disease research at the Universidad del Rosario.
We think that Zika is involved in almost all the cases physicians in Cúcuta have seen.
And it's not just here. Across Colombia, there have been almost 100 Guillain-Barré cases linked to Zika since the outbreak began. That's about twice the usual number. Other countries where Zika is spreading have seen similar spikes in Guillain-Barré cases, places like Brazil, El Salvador, Venezuela. And it turns out the same thing happened a few years ago during a Zika outbreak in French Polynesia.
Is there any question that Zika is linked to Guillain-Barré in your mind, or is that an open question?
Mostly open question.
Still, he says, viral infections are often a trigger for Guillain-Barré. To prove a link with Zika, researchers like Anaya, and there are now quite a number doing similar work, will also have to explain why only a small share of people who get Zika come down with Guillain-Barré.
We're going to look for the previous exposure to toxics, for instance, or previous exposure to another virus.
In the next room over, one of the Guillain-Barré patients is doing physical therapy to regain use of the muscles in his face. He's an 18-year-old college kid named Johan Castro Hernandez. He sits upright at a table, looking into a hand mirror as his mother pushes his lips together into a pucker. He's supposed to hold the pucker, then release into a kiss. He's been here a month. His body looks weirdly thin, no muscle tone. His movements are slow and tentative. Tomorrow, he's set to go home. But it's been a rough road, says his mother, Janina Hernandez. She says, when he first got here, I kept telling him to rest, but he would say he was afraid if he went to sleep, he'd stop breathing. Then one morning, that's exactly what happened. I started to shake and shake and shake, he says, and the doctor said we have to intubate him. By day, he says, he tried to keep up a brave face for his mother. But alone, at night, I'm not going to lie, he says, there was more than one night that I cried. He says, I got to a point where I thought, am I going to be stuck like this? But now he says he's optimistic. He's an athlete, loves soccer. I'm going to do these exercises every day, he says, until I can play again. Nurit Eisenman, NPR News, Cucuta, Colombia.
And that piece was produced by NPR's Becky Sullivan.